Well, the Lord's done so much for us, been so good to us. And well, that stirs me up, praise God. You're not going to hear that out in the world. It's all doom and gloom and fear and concern and anxiety. But at the end of the day, the Lord's still done far more for us than we deserve. And I was thinking when she was singing that song, talking about, even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun. You realize we deserve way worse than the coronavirus. Amen. We deserve way worse than this virus. We deserve way worse than a failing economy, if that happens. We deserve a whole lot worse than that. Amen. 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 And even if it does, even if the economy does fall all to pieces, we still not getting what we deserve. We deserve to be in hell. And God's been good to us, and He's gone far above and beyond for us, and He's going to continue to do that. He's going to continue to meet our needs and be good to us. And boy, if all He'd done for us was Jesus, well, that'd be more than enough, more than what we're worthy of. But He's gone way beyond that, buddy. He's just poured into us. And I thank God for being saved. Good to be an old-time Christian. Amen? Amen. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter number 1. And when you find your place, if you're physically able to stand, we'll stand and reverence the reading of the Word of God and give to you the thought the Lord's give us this morning. I'm sure most of you got the text that Sister Sherry sent out, so be praying for her this morning. And, you know, I was thinking things have really slowed down in our country with all these shutdowns and everything, schools letting out. And it seems like even I guess things kind of around the church have even kind of slowed down. You know, the Bible conference has gotten past us. We've kind of recovered from that somewhat. And I was telling Hannah that, I don't know, last week sometime, just, man, it seems like things have really slowed down. She said, well, it's the first time we've not had something on the calendar, you know, something going on at the church in a long time, you know, something to do or prepare for or whatever. And so I think it's good to slow down every now and then. And the devil wants to keep us and keep the world busy all the time. And if we could slow down every now and then and take a little break just from the hustle and bustle of life and get in the Word of God and read, meditate, and pray, I tell you, God can really speak to us. Amen. And so I think that's a blessing. So we're preaching here in the book of Galatians, and I hope, pray, you've been reading, you've read through here and meditated upon it, thought about it. If you hadn't, I want to encourage you to, and the Lord will really help it and help you and use this in your life. But if you're looking in Galatians chapter 1, we'll start reading. We'll put in about verse number 6. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have heard, which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And of course, we preached on those verses Wednesday night. Verse number 10, he says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace, and I want to thank you for, Lord, letting us be in your house this morning. And Lord, I thank you for the blessing it is, Lord, to be in church, be in the house of God, Lord. And Lord, even in Lord, strange days in our nation and in our world. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to lay aside the cares and concerns of this world, focus on the things of God. And I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us already, Lord, reminding us of how good you've been. And Lord, we don't deserve all that you've done for us and in us and through us, Lord, through the years. But Lord, you've been so good to us. And I thank you and I praise you for it. And thank you, Lord, for what we've already received from assembling at your house this morning. Lord, the good fellowship and the encouragement and Lord, the edification and the exhortation we received. I thank you, Lord, for that, for the good Sunday school hour, and Lord, for the giving that's been done, the praying that's been done, the singing. I just thank you for it all. And Lord, as we've come now to this time of preaching, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to receive from heaven what you'd have us to receive, receive from your word what you'd have us to receive. And Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your spirit this morning. And Father, I pray that you would manifest yourself to us and pray that your word would go out in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And Father, that you would speak to our hearts, you drive your word deep into our souls, Lord, that we might receive from you what you would have us to receive. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, we know that the natural man receives not these things, for they're spiritually discerned. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds this morning. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us and uplift us, but reprove and rebuke us where we need it. I pray that you would just do whatever needs to be done in our hearts to draw us closer to you. Bless us now in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I was thinking as I was reading, studying this, meditating upon it, what we see here in this passage, these verses that we've just read, verse 10, really down through verse number 24, almost the last half of this chapter, a little more than half. But what we start to see is we see the change in Paul's life. And he's writing unto this Galatian church and telling them and really reminding them of the change that's been made in his life. Now, we know he's kind of laid the groundwork in the first part of the chapter. Of course, he's introduced himself and he's talked about why, really just gone straight into why he's writing this letter. He's telling them, you know, why he's writing them, that he's concerned for them in verses 6 through 9. He's concerned that they've been so soon removed from the gospel that was preaching to them, the gospel of grace. And, of course, we know what's happening here, what's happened in this church, is that heretics, false prophets, Judaizers, whatever you want to call them, have come in and started teaching and preaching false doctrine, grace and faith mingled with works. And, buddy, that's evident in our day, buddy. We've seen that a lot in our day. The main difference in the doctrine that we believe, we'd call it Baptist doctrine, but I'm not a Baptist for Baptist's sake. I'm Baptist for Bible's sake. If there was anything closer to the Bible than being an independent fundamental Baptist, that's what I'd be. And so the main difference in Bible doctrine, or our doctrine, and virtually every other doctrine out there, is that ours is by grace through faith, and theirs is by grace through faith plus something, or, you know, plus works or something else. And that's exactly what was going on in the Galatian church. And so Paul is dealing with that, getting settled what real salvation is. And boy, it'd help us if we got that settled in our hearts, what real salvation is, so we don't get so soon removed. Amen? But I was thinking, as reading this in verse 10 down to the last part of the chapter, Paul goes into really his testimony and what changed his life. We go from seeing the concerns, Paul writing the concerns of Paul in verses 6 through 9, to him really writing, dealing with his change, the change in Paul, the concerns of Paul, and he starts dealing with the changes of Paul. And what he's doing, the reason I believe he's writing this, is he's reinforcing that authority that he starts laying down in the first verse. Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. He's letting them know, I am writing to you as an apostle with authority. And so, in other words, I've got the authority to deal with these things I'm dealing with. The guys that are preaching these things, they don't have the authority. But I'm the apostle, I do have the authority. It's highly likely that those men came in tearing down Paul's authority, saying, well, he's no different from us. And that's what they'll say today. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and any other false doctrine out there, that's what they'll say. We're no different from you. That's what Brother Ernest was talking about in Sunday school this morning, talking to a man who said, I believe that, Everybody in churches, some in all churches, they'll all go to heaven. You know, whether they're Pentecostal, Church of Christ, or Methodist, or Lutheran, there's going to be some in all them churches that's going to make it to heaven. Well, there might be some that have gotten saved and just hadn't been had their eyes open to that false doctrine yet, and the Holy Spirit's led them and guided them onto all truth. Out of that stuff, it's possible. But just like he said, if they believe that doctrine, they ain't going to make it. But what they'll say is, we're all the same. We're all the same. You're no different from me. I'm no different from you. Our church is no different from your church. Just a few little different things. Well, I believe like Paul. We are different. Amen? And even in the authority thing, I'm not an apostle and you're not either. But we've got an authority that most churches don't have. And that's his King James Bible. This has got more authority than the Bible that most churches preach today. So we're not apostles in that regard of having authority, but I do stand on an authority that supersedes the authority of what most folks are getting. Amen? And I believe that Paul, starting in verse 10, starts reinforcing that authority. He's just reinforcing and reminding them that the gospel that he's given unto them and preached unto them and the gospel that he has received is not the same gospel as what they are preaching. It came from a different place, come from a different source. Amen? And it was enough to change Paul's life. Amen? And so I believe that's why he's writing it. And so he starts dealing with his change. Only the true gospel, only the true message, only the true authority has got the power to truly change somebody. Amen? It's the only thing that's got the real power to change. Amen? Now, you know, you can reform somebody for a while. And that's what they did to the demoniac of Gadara. They tried to reform him. And they did for a while at times, probably, for a length of time, till he broke those fetters and got back to his old ways. And that's what will happen today. They'll give a message that might reform, or they'll talk that'll reform for a while, but after a while, those fetters are going to get broke. Folks will go back to their old ways. But when Jesus passed by, when the Word came in power, amen? When the Word came, it made a change. And it made a change in Paul's life too, amen? And so that's what we're preaching on this morning, the change in Paul. Now, thinking about all the people down through the years that I've known and you've probably known too, a lot of them, I believe, folks that have really wanted to change. I think we've had folks come through here, even since I've been here as the pastor, what short time that's been. I believe we've seen people filter in and out of here that in their mind, at least, they really wanted the change. They realized that their sin and their lifestyle, the direction they're going, is wrecking their life to a degree. They realize it's making them miserable. They realize that at the end of the day, when the party is over, that they just don't have fulfillment. They're lacking something in their life, and they really, sincerely do want to change to a degree. However, we see people that I believe really are sincere. At least I think they are. I mean, I don't know their heart, but I think at least to a degree they want to change. But why is it that so many seem to want to, but either can't or don't? Why is that? There's got to be a reason. There's got to be a reason why a man can't just make up his mind to change and do different and do better. There's got to be a reason for that. Because how many New Year's resolutions have been made that never come through? How many new leaves have been turned over that get turned back over? You know, go back to the old ways. How often? That happens all the time. Again, Brother Ernest testified this morning about growing up and watching people who got in church and made professions and seeing how it affected them and how most of the time it didn't pan out. Amen? Most of the time it didn't pan out. And I'd say it's that way or worse today. Seems like most professions don't pan out. There's no real legitimate change. No legitimate change. And so why is that? What is it that can really change somebody? If what people are getting today, if the professions they're making today and the religion, so to speak, that they're getting today isn't changing them for time and eternity, what is going to change somebody? What really will change? Well, the message that Paul got has the power to change. It's not the message that will cause somebody to, you know, jump into it feet first, headlong, and then never be different after that. It's a very different message than that. And so, again, he's combating these heretics, preaching another gospel. He addresses the fact of the true gospel message and how he received it and the change it made in his life. Again, reminding them that he and his message are real. They're real. He's not a phony like these heretics and these folks, these uneducated folks, these barbaric folks in this Galatian church might look at these missionaries from Judea and see all the religion and think, boy, there's really something to these folks. That's the way most of the world is today. They see the suit and the tie, or they see the Pope with his hat on, and because they see all the pomp and the circumstance, so to speak, they think there's really something to it. And that's where all these weird ideas and weird notions and all this emotionalism comes in, because they see all that stuff and they think, boy, there's really got to be something to that, you know. Probably the way it was with this Galatian church. They were probably young Christians. And they didn't know any better. And they thought, man, there's really something to these guys. So what they see, they think is a change. And the truth is, they're whited sepulchers on the outside, full of dead man's bones on the inside. And we're going to talk about how you can spot that in just a minute. But what we see here is what really changed Paul, and what will really change anybody else that will receive it. And so I was thinking, you know, we hear today a lot of times people talking about, you know, a message of hope. You know, message of hope. I thought about, you know, the Obama, whenever he ran for president, you know, he ran on hope and change. Hope and change. Isn't that right? It changed, but we lost all hope. Amen. And but you hear that a lot. Hope and change. And those are like big words, you know, in our day that really, you know, that seem to like stir people with courage and whatever. I mean, it just seems to stir people up, this idea of hope and change. And that's what people are looking for. They're looking for hope and change. They're looking for a message of hope. Well, this is a message, certainly. Paul's message is certainly a message of hope, but it's a message of change. You realize there's no hope if people cannot change. There's no hope in a message that won't change somebody, because what they've got is killing them. Their sin, their lifestyle. I mean, it's what you and me, where we were before we got this message, before we received it, what we had was kill us. We had to make a change. And as many times as we tried to before that, we never could do it. And it was kill us. And so that leaves you with no hope. There's no hope if you can't change. Amen? There's no hope in a gospel that can't change somebody. And so this is a real message that changed Paul. Go look at the speaking of the message. We're talking about the message of the change. The message of the change. There's the speaking of the message he deals with. Verse 10, he says, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Verse 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." So he's dealing with proclaiming the true gospel. Now, his motive for speaking he deals with in verse 10. "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men?" And the message that he had, it wasn't to please man, but to please God. That's the way Paul preached. He preached to please God, not to please men. Now, did he preach to persuade men? Well, yes, absolutely he did. But did he preach to please men? Absolutely not. So he preached to persuade them, yes. And that's why he asked the question, "For do I now persuade men or God?" Well, the answer is yes. Yes, I preach to persuade men. But do I preach to please men, or do I seek to please men? Well, the answer is no. I preach to persuade, but not to please. Amen? And I say that because it's possible he had been accused of compromise by these heretics. They say, well, this Paul, you know, they take where Paul said, you know, "I've become all things to all men," you know. Well, he's just a compromiser. He's going to do whatever he's got to do to reach folks. When that's just not the truth. You know, that's not Paul's character, and that's what he's telling them here. He's saying, I've never done anything, I've never compromised anything to reach anybody. It's the message. And I don't preach to please, but I do preach to persuade. Amen? And that's what we're going to have to do and be in this last day. Now, the devil can really get on our backs. We look around. We say, boy, so many other churches and places seem like they're doing so much more than us. Well, they're preaching to persuade and to please. Amen? And if we preach to persuade but not to please, then we're just probably not going to see that many. That's just the fact of the matter. And that's okay. If we're running 1,000 someday, praise the Lord, but we're not going to preach and live to please to get that many. Amen? I think we ought to be just like Paul, preach to persuade, preach to reach people, live to reach people, witness to reach people, evangelize to reach people and to persuade, but never to please. Never to please. Amen? So if the motive was to please men, he's saying he would not be a true servant of Christ. That's what he's saying. If my motive is to please men, I'm not a true servant of Christ. Amen? And by the way, anybody whose motive is to please men is not a true servant of Christ. They may have all the looks and all the appeal on the outside, but they're not a true servant on the inside. And so this principle alone will expose a lot of Christian service and ministries as really not being service for Christ at all. There's a lot of folks that are making a living, and a good living at that, off the things of religion, off Christian service and ministry. Amen? That's why what, like 3 cents on the dollar makes it to the mission field whenever you support the Southern Baptist Convention? Isn't that about what it was? 5 cents? 5 cents? Probably less than that now. You know, and yeah, so 50 years ago, 5 cents on the dollar actually made it to the mission field, you know, as far as money that supported the Southern Baptist Convention. And I'm sure it's way worse now, but you got a bunch of fat cats up in an office building making no telling how much money, making a good living, got a good, comfortable living, good, comfortable. You can't tell me that they're interested in getting the gospel out. You know, I'll never be convinced of that. Now, I've got no problem with somebody making a living and making a good living. I've not even got a problem with somebody being wealthy, being rich. I've got no problem with that at all. There were wealthy and rich people in the Bible that served God. Many of God's men were wealthy and rich. There's no problem with that at all. I'm just simply saying, I'm making the point that there's a lot of folks that are making merchandise of the things of God. Amen. That's why, you know, a lot of boys come out of, you know, Bible college now and look at the church with the corporate mentality. That's why most churches are ran like corporations now. Not ran like churches anymore, ran like corporations. And it's all about climbing up the corporate ladder. Getting at this church and then working up to a little bit bigger church, a little bit bigger church, a little bit bigger church, till finally they're the big name. They're the big shot with a good living, good retirement, and all that. Amen. And so I'm just saying that this principle here, it'll expose a lot of motives. I think I told y'all this, or I may have at least mentioned it. I've had folks since I've been here talk about coming to our, whether or not they're going to come to our Bible conference, and tell me, flat out tell me, that if I can't get at least 5 minutes to tell folks what I'm doing and tell folks, you know, my ministry and all this stuff, and there's no need in me coming. I've had them actually tell me that. You know what my response is? Lord bless you. Pray for us. I mean, don't come then. Amen. Amen. And I'm just saying, the motive exposes a lot. This principle exposes a lot. And the motive does matter, by the way. Maybe the Lord has used some people through the years that didn't exactly have the right motives. Maybe you and me have never had exactly the right motives in everything we've done. But ultimately, overall, in the grand scheme of things, motive matters. That's exactly right. We're going to be judged on our motives. And so it'll expose a lot. So his motive of speaking, he's letting them know, I've never. And by the way, this Galatian church knows him. He's telling them, listen, y'all know me. Y'all know I've never preached to please men. Y'all know that. And he goes on to talk about later on how if he'd have asked them to, they'd have put their eyes out and given them to him. And so Paul was as straight and uncompromising, Brother Ernest said this morning, probably outside of Jesus is anyone that's ever lived. I mean, he was a chosen vessel. And may God help us to be like him. Amen. He had the right motive. So may the Lord help our motives, but then his manner of speaking. Verse 11 says, he says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." That word preached. They tell me that word preached deals with evangelization. Evangelism. In fact, from what I understand, it's actually, as far as the Greek word there, it's actually where we get our English word evangelize or evangelism. And Paul is saying that the word, the gospel that I preached, that I gave to others, that I evangelized with, listen, it wasn't something I came up with. It wasn't me. Paul preached in a manner, in an evangelistic manner, to turn people to Christ, not unto himself. Amen? And by the way, I think we need to get back to that. I think we do. We need to get back. We talk about being old time and old fashioned. That extends beyond just our style of preaching and our style of music and our style of worship. I think we need to ask the Lord to help us and sincerely seek in our individual lives to get back to old fashioned, old time evangelism. I really do. Because Paul used the word preach there. And if we're not careful, we get the idea and get the mentality that preaching is standing in a pulpit speaking to an audience. But that's not just what preaching is. Whenever Philip went to the backside of the wilderness, and the Bible says he preached unto that Ethiopian eunuch, preached unto him Jesus, preached it to him. Well, what, did he pull a pulpit out of his pocket? They pull the chariot over and he pull out a pulpit and stand there with his mouth? No, he simply rode in that chariot with him and he simply expounded the scriptures unto him one-on-one, individually. He simply evangelized that man and led him unto Christ. Amen? With the gospel. And I think we need to get back to that, brethren. I really do. And I'm talking about myself and my own life. I think we all need to pray and ask God that he would stir us and help us to be evangelistic. I believe exactly what Brother Brunson preached at the Bible conference, that we are always on visitation. Always. 100% of the time. Visitation and being a witness and being a soul winner is not something we clock in and clock out of. It's not a set church time. And I'm not against set church times. We go out and knock doors and stuff. I think that's good things to do. But the fact is, that's not the time when we do it. We are always that. The Lord said we are a city set on a hill. Cannot be hid. Amen? And I really do. I think God ought to help us in our manner of speaking. Our manner. That God would help us to be always looking and always seeking. Always be filled with boldness to give somebody the gospel. Give somebody the word. Amen? And yeah, sure, you'll probably deal with folks who won't understand. And you'll deal with folks who, you know, you can't get through to them. You'll deal with folks that will ask hard questions. And you'll deal with folks that'll reject the... Sure, well, I mean, the Lord dealt with that. Paul dealt with that. And there's not been a Christian that's ever lived that hasn't dealt with all that. But the fact is, we need to have the right manner of speaking, preaching, and being evangelistic. That's the way Paul was. And that message changed his life. That message will change somebody else's life. See, the Lord, He's called us to be that. He's called and ordained that method as being the method of reaching the lost. The method of preaching. And that's not just preaching in church services. That's from house to house and door to door and person to person. Whoever will give us an ear, whoever will listen, whoever will allow us to take a Bible and invest with them and talk about the Word of God and the things of God, that's who we're to be preaching to. All of us. Amen. Every single one of us. All the time. May God help us. Amen? So the speaking of the message, but then the source of the message, he deals with that. He says in verse 11, he said it wasn't after man. It's not after man. Then in verse 12, neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know where most all false doctrine comes from? It comes from being taught something. Paul said he wasn't taught this thing. He wasn't taught it from somebody else. The Lord gave it to him. Directly from Jesus Christ Himself, he was given. Pretty much every false doctrine out there is been by somebody. Somebody got it and latched on to it by reading somebody's book. You know? That's where Calvinism come from. That's where all these false doctrines come from. You don't come up with Calvinism by reading the King James Bible. There's too many whosoever wills in there. Amen? But they got that from reading after somebody else. Or going to some college where some professor, some doctor who's smarter than God taught it to them. You know? And so Paul said, listen, this wasn't taught to me. I got it from the Word. The Word. Jesus is the Word, isn't He? I think our doctrine needs to come straight from the Word. And if it'll come straight from the Word, we'll be all right. And so what Paul says in those verses, first of all, it was not the invention of man. He said, not after man, verse 11. One man said, I read this, he said, if man could have thought up the gospel, he would not have done so because it condemns man. Amen? This thing ain't invented by us. Why would man come up with the idea of the gospel? If he could, he wouldn't. Because the gospel requires you to die. Requires me to die. Requires us to lose our identity in Christ and lose ourselves in Christ. It requires a death. Same guy went on to say, if man wanted to think of the gospel, he could not have. Because it takes the genius of God to plan and put into effect the gospel. We could not have thought up the gospel if we wanted to, and we would not if we could have. Amen? So it's something that comes straight from God. Now you can think up and you can dream up and even would think up and dream up what these false prophets are teaching the Galatian church. And you would and could dream up and think up what all the false doctrines being preached this morning all across America. You would and could. Because it's easy to believe that if I get baptized, I'm saved and that's it. Boom, that's it. I mean, you can come up with that, and you would come up with that. I mean, you know, it's you know, you can come up with, and it's easy to believe that if I speak in tongues, I'm saved. Make up a bunch of gibberish, and you know, whatever. I mean, boom, I'm saved. You can come up with and come up with any religious activity or ceremony that people want to go through that bring about salvation. Man can come up with that because he has. I mean, none of this stuff has come from God, has it? Well, obviously it's come from man. Man's dreamed it up. Man's come up with it. Come up with baptizing babies, sprinkling babies. Come up with, you know, taking the Lord's Supper makes you saved. Drinking the juice and taking the wafer makes you saved. Come up with all these ceremonies, all this religion. Man's come up and dreamed up all this stuff. But what the true gospel, the message that Paul's talking about, he says, buddy, it wasn't of man. It wasn't of man. So it was not the invention of man, but it's not the... And also, even beyond that, Paul goes on to say it wasn't the influence of man. What I have, Paul says, it wasn't invented by man, but it wasn't even influenced by man. He said, neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. Matter of fact, he goes on to talk about how whenever he received it, later on in the chapter, he didn't even go up to the apostles. He didn't go join up with the other men that were supposed to be apostles and join up with the rest of the work. No, he went off serving God, went off to Arabia. He wasn't taught this by anybody. He was just led by the Spirit of God. So he did not get the gospel message from man, did not learn it from the apostles or from Gamaliel or any other human. He got it straight from Christ. So it's not the invention of man, not the influence of man, but rather it's the informing by Christ that he got. He said, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The message came straight from Jesus. Straight from Jesus. We're talking about the message. The message that's got the power to change. And everybody seems to be racking their brains in this day on what are we going to do to change people? What are we going to do to change people's minds? What are we going to do to help people and get people saved and all that stuff? I think we need the same message that Paul had because that is the only message that's got the power to change. The old gospel. Amen? He got the message straight from Jesus Christ. And since it came from Christ, it was an untainted message. Amen? By the way, that does matter. It matters that it's an untainted message. 1 Peter 1:23. being born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It matters that the message is untainted. Amen? It matters that that the Word is untainted. That's where it comes from. It came to Paul from Jesus Christ, who is the Word. If the Word was tainted, it'd be a tainted message. Y'all following me? And in 2020, if the Word is tainted, it'll be a tainted message. Right? Be a tainted birth. So it is important. So an untainted message, but also an unpopular message. John 15, verse 18, Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. It's unpopular. Always has been unpopular. Always will be unpopular. But then it's a powerful message. Romans 1, verse 16, Paul, the same Paul that wrote this Galatian church, said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. See, there again, you can't get Calvinism from that verse. On your own, anyways. You can get it from somebody, but you can't get it on your own just by reading the Bible. He says, to everyone that believeth. That is, if they'll believe, it'll be the power of God unto salvation for them. If they'll believe. And so it's a powerful message. So it's not contingent on the message. The message can save. The message can change. It has the power to change. If people will believe it. Amen? The power to change. The power of the message. So I say the source matters. The source of the message. Paul's letting them know it didn't come of man or by man. If you can trace a doctrine back to a man, it'll be wrong every time because the source matters. The source of this message, this gospel that we preach and live by, comes straight from Christ. Again, I was thinking about Brother Brunson preaching on Saul's armor, talking about how so many, you can only give what you've got. That's right. All you can give is what you've got. That's right. Most of them are giving false doctrine because that's what they've got. That's what they've got. They're given false doctrine. And I'm afraid that I wonder sometimes if maybe some saved people, or people who at least claim that they're saved and have got the right doctrine, maybe if they don't, you know, we talk about evangelizing, the manner of preaching more, and all these things. We talk about that, and I wonder sometimes if that's not given from some people more because maybe they just don't have it. They claim it, but they don't really have it in their soul. We can only give what we've got. And so the source matters. Now, the right message can make a real change. Make a real change. And so Paul deals with the message of change. And I believe with all my heart, if we're going to see people changed in this day, no matter how many or how few it is, if people are going to be legitimately changed, eternal value, eternal change, it's going to come from the same old message. Come from the same old message. And so Paul deals with the message of the change. Tonight we're going to look at the manner of the changed. He goes on to talk about how it changed. And this message, if somebody will receive the message, it'll change their life. It's changed your life. But it'll change their life in the same ways that it changed Paul's life. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet and have a word of prayer. Brother Ernest is going to get us a song ready. We're going to have a closing hymn. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I want to thank you for being good to us and for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel, and Lord, for your word. Lord, thank you that what Paul got straight from you, Lord, we have it in this book. Lord, just as powerful, just as strong, yes, just as perfect, just as untainted, yes, Lord, as it's always been. I pray that you just help us, Lord, to continue to earnestly contend for the faith. Help us, Lord, to continue to spread this message, Lord, to reach, do what we can to reach the lost. And Lord, I pray that you'd fill us with your spirit, with power, with boldness. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, if you spoke to somebody's heart this morning, I pray that you'd help them, Lord, to Lord, obey you, do what you'd have them to do. And Lord, I pray that you just bless us in Christ's name. Amen.